So what I wanted to show you today was a different angle on the Nisina issue. So we've tried to figure out what does the Torah mean when it says Vinasan. And we saw a couple of possibilities. One possibility that it was about being Makneh to her, but that had many, many difficulties with it. And we saw another possibility that it's not about Kinyan per se, but it's about a Maisa Nisina. It's about doing something which has a status of giving, which has a physical elements of giving, but doesn't necessarily have to be a Kinyan. And we get into some of the practicalities probably tomorrow. We'll look into that about which Kinyanim work or don't work, and what is better because it's not a Kinyan, etc., etc. So that we'll have to see. But we also discussed the possibility that it gets to her one way or another, even if the get is not a Kinyan, even if the process of the get is not a Kinyan, and we talked about it as a Shtar Raya at the same time as a Shtar Kinyan, and that maybe that's also connected, that the nature of the transaction is that it ends up in her possession. So all of those are things that we saw as possible models for Nisina. So I'd like to just note today is another possibility, specifically within the Rambam. But the truth is, we'll see also there's some probably some support from the Gemara for this view as well, that a whole different model about the Nisina. So perhaps from the sources I mentioned today, probably the first one is the most valuable, just to, I'll try to call it up here. We don't have a Rambam in the room here, right? So we'll call it up here. So the language of the Rambam, that was the first item on the list, I'll read it to you. Tell me if you notice anything perhaps surprising. So it was Perek Beis Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Gerushin. And the language of the Rambam, which I almost have, is, okay, so I'll read it to you. Zeh she'nemar b'Torah. V'kasav la sefer krisus v'nasan v'yada. So that, the pasuk that we're all hopefully very familiar with by now. So that, the intent of that pasuk is what? Echad ha'kosev b'yada o sh'amar la'acher l'chtov lo. So it doesn't matter whether you write it, the husband writes it with his own hand, or he asks someone else to do it. V'echad ha'nosem b'yada o sh'amar la'acher l'tein lo. So it doesn't matter whether the husband actually writes it or has someone else write it. And it also doesn't matter if he actually hands it over or if somebody else hands it over on his behalf. Why? So apparently why? The Rambam continues, Lo ne'amar v'kasav ela lehodia she'ein misgareshes ela b'ksav. The only reason the Torah tells us v'kasav is to teach us that that's the only way it happens. Divorce only happens through a written document. V'nasan shlo tikach me'atzma. Now why does the Torah say v'nasan? So that she does not do the taking. So can you make some diukim in that Rambam? Is there anything that may be surprising? Anything that you think that he's teaching you that was not obvious until now? Caleb?
I think that it's saying that essentially the divorce happens through ktiva. That's just the way that I read it.
Interesting.
That the divorce happens through ktiva. Uh-huh. And then netina, why does it say benatan? Mm-hmm. So that there is some netina going on, but it seems to place the emphasis on the kritut, on katav.
That's interesting. I have to confess I don't see that.
I can pull it up and read it.
That's just how
it just made sense to me that way.
So just to emphasize also to steer you towards the direction of going a little bit more, it seems to me, I would say differently, that language, and this is itself a little bit of a clue perhaps, or will be a clue, that this language seems to treat Ksiva and Nisina pretty much identically. Yeah?
I could see why one would think that.
Okay.
Obviously in your knowledge of Rambam is
greater than
mine.
That's not the point.
But I think the way that it says, she'ein mitgareshet ela bichtav. I think that's what my brain was sort of focusing on.
Okay.
That ela bichtav, the ktav, is the divorcing thing. That it doesn't. It says v'chatav la v'natala, but the ketav is the mitzgarashet part.
Okay,
that's how I.
All right, I hear it, but still, I don't think that's actually what he's saying, because he's not contrasting it with that. And there's something else that's unspoken that he's contrasting, and that's where the surprise is a little bit. So let me ask it this way. So what the Rambam basically taught, he taught two halachas in this halacha. Two dinim in this halacha. One, that the husband does not have to actually write the get himself. Two, the husband does not actually have to give the get himself. So both of those things could happen through someone else. And then he says that the language of the pasuk, which says he's going to write it and he's going to give it, don't take that to mean he's doing that himself, or he's doing either of those things himself. That both of those have their own point to it, and you shouldn't assume that the message of the Torah in that context is that he has to be writing it himself or giving it himself. Because in the case of the kasav, it's there to emphasize that it's specifically in writing, as opposed to any other way, let's say spoken. So that's why also, Caleb, I think the emphasis is different. It says, Einu miskaresh elu b'ksiva. It's to contrast it not with the other part of what's happening, but some other method. There is no other method. As opposed to, let's say, for example, Kedushin, we know, has three methods. Gittin only has one. So the emphasis is on the ksiva to the exclusion of all other methods. So that's the chiddush of the ksiva, says the Rambam, and the chiddush of Nesina, right, which is what we've been focused on all this time, the chiddush of Nesina is that she shouldn't take it herself. So if you're picking up, there's already an interesting emphasis in the way the Rambam is saying this, trying to tell us what the chiddush of these two crucial words are, our first semester and our second semester, the pasuk and v'nasan. But there's another issue here, which is related. We're aware of the halacha, right? Even if we haven't gotten to those sugyas yet, but we know in general that, yes, a get doesn't have to be written by the husband himself and doesn't have to be handed over by the husband himself. So if I were to ask you, what do you call that then? Right, especially as it appears very frequently in the Masechta, what do you call that concept that means the husband doesn't have to be doing this personally? Shlichus, right? That's what it sounds like. This sounds like the din of shlichus b'chalat arakula, and indeed, many sugyas in Gittin are centered around shlichus as a concept. So you would think that that's what we're talking about. So there's a din of ksiva, yes, and there's a din of nisina, but there's also a concept in many areas of Torah, not all, but many, of shlucho shel adam kemoso. So that's the story. So what's the Rambam going on about these other points? Why don't we just say that because the concept of shlichus exists, so therefore the husband can use the shliach both for the ksiva saget and for the nesina saget. You pick up on the issue, you see how it's a little bit surprising. So this is something we mentioned once previously, the shiurim of Rav Dov Schwartzman, who's the Rosh Yeshiva in Beis HaTalmud and the son-in-law of Rav Aaron Cutler. So he has an interesting shiur about this point also, where he makes this point that a few others will mention, where he asks, why are we not simply looking to shlichus here and saying that that's the point? And the Rambam's formulation is perhaps surprising. So in order to address that, so then we have to try to understand a little bit how the two halves work together. And that's also my previous point that I think it does seem from the Rambam that he's essentially treating the two halves equally. He's saying there's a din of a kasav, a din of a nasan. Both of them can be done through someone else, and the fact that the pasuk tells us the husband has to do it, that's not the emphasis. The point is that differently mudim in each case. But it's not to tell us that it has to be him specifically. So what's wrong with shlichus? Why don't we just go there? So to take it one part at a time, when it comes to ksiva, so I assume, okay, this is the Tosfos you were talking about that I spent a lot of time on, the Tosfos and Daf Kuf Beis.
Spent the rest of Seder on it.
So it's worth it, even though we'll have to bring in a few other things. But Tosfos talks about the notion of ksiva for a get and how exactly it works, and some of the difficulties about shlichus, right, about who exactly qualifies. Normally you need to have somebody who's certainly somebody who's Jewish for shlichus, and somebody has to be what we call the Torahs. They have to be in the category of a specific mitzvah. So Tosfos goes through the fact that it doesn't seem to be that we necessarily have all these rules for the get. So Tosfos essentially extracts from that that we do not need shlichus for the ksiva of the get, because the Torah never said that the husband has to write the get himself. That's not what it means. So therefore, since it's not the nature of the requirement, now you could have thought that's what it means, because it sounds like it's a literal translation of the pasuk, but here this is consistent with the Rambam is saying that no, it's not what it means. Torah, as much as the translation could have led you there, the Torah never meant to say the husband has to write the get. The Torah just emphasizes that the Torah, that the get has to be a written document as opposed to a oral document. But it is not something that has to be written at the hands of the husband. So therefore, we do not require shlichus for a get. Now just to review some points from last semester that are tied into that. Now we know that we do need Tzivoy Habal, so there's a little bit of Chazara from a few months ago, but we do need that the husband issue a command that the get be written. And we had to explain that, and this is part of what Tosfos is talking about here also, that that is not a minui shlichus. That is not happening as the husband appointing an agent, and that's why it has to be through his instruction. No, because that's not what's happening. It's not the case that you need shlichus. So why do we need the husband to get involved at all? Why do we need Tzivoy Habal? Yeah?
Lishma.
Exactly, right? Even though there was also a machlok about the Zatosus in Erevin that said that Tzivoy Habal is only Drabanan, but that's not the mainstream view, the most common view, although whatever, it may not be the only one. But the view the Zatosus is saying is like you're explaining that it's Bidin Lishma. So we need the husband to create the Lishma for the get by creating the instruction, but there was never a din that the get has to be written by him. Hi.
Also, obviously the husband would have to be involved in some way, otherwise you can just go up to random people's wives and be like, here's the get.
Okay, that's an important point to keep in mind. So hold on to that and we'll come back to that and then talk about that. Because that's also a consensually a question you could ask on this Rambam.
Yeah.
In their opening statement, almost as if the Rambam is saying that, yes, here's the rules for a get, but they don't actually have to involve the husband, they can involve somebody else. So your question or your statement is well taken, and it doesn't have to involve them at all, and it has got to be some connection. Yeah. Now, especially if we're not turning to shlichus, where shlichus is shlucho shalodom kemoso, so then all the more so, so then where does the husband come in? Right? So that becomes a particularly relevant question. If this was all about shlichus, it'd be much easier. Shlichus is a concept we have b'chol Torah kula, and shlichus means that the shliach takes on the identity of the mishalech. There's an essay about this. Now, presumably later in the year we'll get a lot more into details about shlichus, but just to say a second about it, there is Rav Yosef Engel, who we've mentioned many times in his Sefer Lekach Tov, has a very thorough essay about shlichus, where he starts off with that question, you know, what exactly does it mean, shlucho shel adam kamoso? Does it mean he literally stands in the sender's place for all purposes? Does it mean that what he does is credited back to the sender? Does it make a difference, et cetera, et cetera? So there are a couple of different ways to understand what that means, and maybe we'll find some opportunities to go into that in more detail later in the year. But if that was the mechanism...
Hitman
Sugya. Right, so Taka gets into other aspects of it. Yeah, there's a lot to say about that. So once you have the concept of shlichus involved, so that could make things much simpler. Right? We don't have to give these other limudim, and we know where the husband is. The husband is the mishaleach, so he's being represented by his agent. But if you're not using shlichus, so in addition to wondering why are you not using shlichus, but Eric's point is well taken that the husband's got to be expressed somewhere. So in the case of the ksiva, the husband does indeed have to give the tzivoy. And if we assume against the Tosfos and Erevin that that's a din min ha-Torah. So why is that? Yes, correctly you said it, because there needs to be lishma. Okay, so fine. So then how does the ksiva saget work? The ksiva saget can be written by some other random person. Not clearly even have to be Jewish, or maybe at least not Maker Adin. The get can be written by some other person, and the husband's involvement is through the instruction, and by doing that, he creates the lishma for the get. So, in addition to all of those parts coming out, where Schwartzman goes on to say, that tells us something about the process, or it tells us something, at least as far as ksiva is concerned. So when it comes to ksiva, you could have thought that the ksiva was a crucial part of the get. Now, a crucial part of the gerushin, that was a part of the action. Now, indeed, we saw many possibilities that did seem to subscribe to that when we talked about this in the first month, that there were many who do understand the ksiva to be the act of gerushin, or the first part of the act of gerushin. So the way he's understanding in the Rambam is that, no, that's not what's happening. And that the purpose of ksiva is, the other side in that discussion that we had then, is just to prepare the document that will be used for the gerushin. But the ksiva itself is not the gerushin. So therefore, the ksiva is not done by the husband, and there's no requirement that it be done by the husband. And therefore, that's okay that it has somebody else doing it. It doesn't need any recourse to shlichus. It's simply not a part of the gerushin process. It needs to be prepared, lishma. It needs to be in place in order for the gerushin to happen. But perhaps in the Rambam's view, different from some other views we saw before, it doesn't have to be considered a part of the process of the writing of the get itself, of the divorce itself, of the gerushin itself. So far, so good? Everybody with me? So he goes on to say a little bit more. And he actually connects this to a recent Daf Yomi. So the holding in Daf Yomi. So there's a Sugya Nazar on Daf Yud Aleph, which you believe was the Daf on Friday, this past Friday, if I'm not mistaken. So there, the Gemara talks and the Rishonim talk a little bit more about when somebody takes on a Nazar, takes on Naziris. And there's a Mishnah there about whether you automatically get all the conditions of Naziris upon taking a commitment of Naziris. Or is it possible to modify it at all? So you have Masna Mashakas with the Torah. So there's an indication that certain things like a neder, like naziris, are basically an expression of one's personal interest and are not given to shlichus. In general, not everything is susceptible to shlichus. And to spell this out a little bit more, to talk about this especially in this piece, but to spell it out a little bit more, in general, there is a big discussion as to when shlichus works and when shlichus does not work. Right? So why can't I sleep late in the morning and send a shliach to put on tefillin for me and say kriyat shema for me? So why wouldn't that be a lot easier? So why can't they do that? So this was a big discussion in general. And the Ksos talks about this, quoting from the Tosus Rid in Kedushin, that essentially lays down the principle that when you have a mitzvah that needs to be done with your body directly, we call a mitzvah shavagufo, such as shaking a lulav or putting on tefillin or the like, so then there's no such thing as shlichus. You can't use somebody else's body, so that's a mitzvah for you. The types of mitzvos that generally allow for shlichus are usually result-based mitzvos, where it's not so much that you need to do something, but you need to get something done. So if you're able to have somebody else get it done, so it sounds the sounding like the hitman language we're talking about before, but you have somebody else get it done, so then that's also going to count for those mitzvos. That's the chiddush of shlucho shel adam kamoso. Now, even in those cases, we may still prefer to do it yourself. That's the idea of mitzvah bo, yosim shlucho, it's still a hiddur to do the mitzvah yourself. But in these cases, it's possible to have someone else do the mitzvah because that's the nature of the mitzvah. So essentially, remember when I was in the camp and Marsha Kola used to play basketball. And so sometimes if somebody was about to get the ball in, I try to be memani and my shliach, so he should get the ball in for me. So the question is, halachically, why does that not work? Or doesn't it work? So one reason could be, sorry?
Well, it needs to be begufa, you want to...
So that would be the main issue. So the question is that a mitzvah should begufa or not? So it probably depends. Why do I want him to be my shliach to get the ball in? So if the point is I want to show off how athletic I am, so then probably it's not so consistent with that to have somebody be my shliach and say that he's impressing you through me, because that would be a literal mitzvah shebegufo. But if it's just about getting the points, so then you could say, all right, that's a tachlos-oriented mitzvah. Maybe I can be demanding him to get points on my behalf. But that's presumably the whole team concept. So, you know, it's not necessarily about shebegufo.
So you just do an assist. An assist that kind of gets...
Oh, okay. So let's actually be relevant to the sagasa. So hold on for that. So the other reason why the shlichus doesn't really work there is also a klal that koman dihu lo matziyav v'shlichus lo mashimashu. If you can't do it yourself, you can't do it either. So, but in any event, so this is normally the rule that shlichus is about things that are result-oriented for the most part, and it's not about mitzvah shebegufo. So what he was assuming here is that had the Torah said that the kasab was the responsibility of the husband, that essentially that's what's happening, he has to express himself in writing, so then, right, so by Schwartzman, he doesn't think that shlichus could have worked for that, and maybe that's the Rambam's point, that is something which is too personal, and that is essentially in the context of words, which we normally don't allow shlichus to function for, so you couldn't give over that statement to somebody else. That statement would have to really be coming from the husband himself. So shlichus, had that really been the din, shlichus would not have worked. So therefore, the Rambam is coming to tell you it was never the din in the first place. And it's essentially consistent with that Tosfos also, that it was never the din in the first place, that the husband doesn't have an obligation to write the get or have a need to write the get in order for it to be good. It can be written by somebody else. And don't read the pasuk the way you probably would have thought on its own, that the kasav means, and he writes, it means that, no, it has to happen through a written declaration, but somebody else can write the declaration, and he should give the tzivoy in order to make it lishma. That last part is not the Rambam, that part was where we're quoting him from the Tosfos. Okay, so far so good. So now the question is, and this is what we're really looking for here, so if we're going to say that, what we said at the outset, that the presentation of the Rambam seems that he is basically giving equal time and space and phrasing to Ksiva and Nesina. Is it possible to say the same kind of approach to Nesina? Meaning what? That if we said that when it comes to Ksiva, Ksiva is not the Maisa Gershon, but it is a Hechitimsa, it's something that needs to be there in order to have it happen. So is it possible to say that that's also the role of Nesina? Right, that Nesina is not actually something that he has to do, but it's something that is part of the process that makes the divorce final. But just as the ksiva is not necessarily something he has to do for it to happen, it's a prerequisite, so too, the Nesina maybe is not something he actually has to physically do either. So that would be different than the approaches we've seen so far. And so we started off thinking, just on the language of the Pasuk, that the husband has to be makne, the get, to the wife. And we saw a bunch of challenges with that, a bunch of reasons why it's not so easy to say that he's making a opinion. And then we mentioned the Tzos, and others, that no, it's not about kinyanim at all, and it's only about the physical act of giving. And that's what the Torah means. And others have said there was some kind of combination, that there is also a kinyan that happened somehow, even though not through the normal rules of kinyan. But here, this view in the Rambam is saying less than either of those two. It's saying you don't need to make a kinyan, nor do you need even the nesina, really. And that when the Torah says v'nasan, it's not telling us that he must be giving. It's coming to make a different, essentially, negative point. Right, what's the negative point? He says it there. Right, what's the negative point, that with the thrust of the message here of v'nasan? That she can't take it herself. right? And that we've seen dinim that come from that, such as, which we're going to see again in a second, but the din of pli gitech malgabi akarka. So if he makes it accessible to her, and she does the taking, it's not going to be good. So the whole thrust here would be that the get has to be brought to her through his power somehow. But it doesn't actually have to be that he is even doing a mice in the scene. So therefore, in this formulation, he does not need shlichus for it to work, and somebody else happening to bring it to her through his instruction or through his efforts is going to be enough. Now, just to expand on that a little bit, so even though we're saying that this is not the mechanism of shlichus, according to this understanding, but it does share the svara that we just said a minute ago, and that's probably important. We said from the Tosfos Rit about when does shlichus apply and when does it not apply. So the point that it only applies when it's a result-based kind of thing. So here, it seems like that's a similar kind of logic at play, even though it's not shlichus per se. But what they're emphasizing here is that the Torah, by telling us, Benasan, is telling us that the get has to get to her somehow, and she cannot be the one taking it. But that essentially is a result-based din. And therefore, because it's a result-based din, you don't need him to do it himself. And the bigger chiddush here, you don't even need the concept of shlichus, because it's even less than that as far as his own responsibility. Normally, we said the shlichus, things that work, it's really a combination of the fact that something is both a result-based mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah on the person. Here, we're saying it's less than that. It's a result-based thing, and the Torah never required that the husband be the one to carry out this particular physical part of it. Okay, so far so good? So, based on that, so he wanted to explain and enforcement a few other dinim. And just to mention one, it was also on the source this morning, if you got a chance to see, that the Rambam says that if a husband gives a get to his Eved, and then he is makna the Eved to his wife, so that works through the concept of a moving chatzar, a chatzar hamahalachas. And it doesn't actually take effect until the get reaches her, but once that happens, so then that is affected. So one could ask, as some do, that why is this any better than Tli Giteich Mil Gabi HaKarka? Telling her, making the get available to her, and telling her that she can pick it up. So basically, that's what's happening. You put it in this walking chatzar in the Eved, and so now that's making it accessible to her, essentially, because it wasn't hers before he gave him the get. He gave the get to the Eved. And so now, essentially, what this is making it possible for her to take it. So how is that different from Tli Giteich Mil Gabi HaKarka? So apparently, the fact that the husband is setting all this in active motion, that's enough that it's coming from him, getting the get into her rishus now, because the Eved is her rishus. So because all of that happened through the husband and not her, so that's enough just to satisfy the very minimal standard of it not being taken by her. So the Nesina is so watered down here that this process is enough to say it's coming from him and she's not taking it herself. So we get a little bit of a sense of just how much it could be watered down theoretically from the Mishnah on Ayin Ches, which we looked at the other day, but also a few lines later into the Gemara, where it really seems to present, and this is probably the sugya, could be a support for this view of the Rambam, because it's something which is surprising in its own. So the Mishnah we saw about it, right? Ayin Ches, Mar Aleph, Amala, Kinsi, Shtar Chov Zah, Oshim Atzvasa, Me'acharav, Kara, Vairehu Gita, Eino Geta, Shiyomala, Hagitech. Nasan biyada v'yishena v'neura kara avarehu kita enaget ad she yomela ha'gite. So that we saw, right, if he pretended it was some kind of other shtar, or he gave it to her while she was sleeping, so that's not enough, unless he says that ha'gite, unless he says that that works. Now, just to restate a point that we saw here, so this is interesting in general, because this also tells us something already about what Nesina is or isn't. Because there's a big difference here from Kiddushin. You know what the difference is as far as Kiddushin and this Mishnah? In the context of Kiddushin, so there is a chiyuv to give something in order for it to work. The husband's got to give the kesef, we usually use a ring, has to give the ring to the kala. And there as well, there is a amira that has to accompany it. And if he does it without making it clear in some way that he's giving the kesef l'shem kedushin, you can't really fix it later. He can take it back and give it to her again, l'shem kedushin. But that nesina is not retroactively definable. So when it comes to Kiddushin, we require a nesina that has to be identified, and it means it has to be identified at the time. You don't retroactively clarify what it means. And yet, when it comes to the get, apparently you have what looks like a parallel. You have to give her something, and she needs to know about it. But you can retroactively inform her. You can tell her later that Hareis de Giteich, and then it would work. So that also lowers the significance of the Nesina, because it's a striking difference between that and Kiddushin. And if you look further in the Gemara here, right after the Mishnah, so you see that it gets watered down a little bit more, because the Gemara says, Ki amar lo hagiteich, so my heavy. So yes, okay, you tell her that that's a get, but now it's already by her, so what are you accomplishing? Havalei tzli giteich mel gavi akarteich. You're basically saying, okay, they're the get that you have already, now you pick it up. So, no, it must be that there's a little bit more of a process here. So, maybe he has it like in his belt, and she's removing it from his belt. So, Tanakhmar says, that's no good. Shlafto, so Nami, that also is not good. Habo ina benasam biyada v'leka. So that's not going to accomplish the din of benasam. Where's the giving here? She's still taking it from him. So lo tzricha da'arik le'chartzei v'shlafte. So maybe he did something. He did something very... I was doing the physical therapy this morning, and part of it, you have to move this way, you have to move that way. So apparently that's what we're talking about. So he has the get on his belt, and he had to move the same way I had to do for the physical therapy, and then she is able to take it from him because he brought it closer to her in that very, very minor way. So already the idea that that could work is already telling us something about the kind of nesina that we're talking about. That is a pretty low-level nesina. And the Ran, which you have on your list, the Ran comments that in general, so we require an amira by a get. And we saw last week that the Rambam thought that was a din d'Rabbanan, but a lot of other Rishonim thought that was a din min haTorah. So the amira that has to happen by a get, so we also saw that that could be softened a little bit if it's a sukin bo soinin. If they were talking about that already, that was the whole context of what's going on, so then that would suffice. So says the Ran, not always. It depends. If you have an uncomplicated case where he's handing her a get, and they've been talking about getting divorced at that time, and all the circumstances fit to explain what's going on, so then yes, asukim v'oso inyan would be enough. However, if it's one of these strange cases that we're seeing here in the Mishnah and in the Gemara, of kinsi shtar chovzat, right, that he fooled her and put it as some other kind of document, or he left it there for her to wake up, or also, arak le'chatzrei, chartzei, that he just kind of tilted in her direction, So all of that says the Ran, you need more. Then, like the Mishnah has, Harez de Giteich. It has to be very specific. And that the standard of, well, the context could have been enough, that's when everything is normal. But in a complicated kind of situation, that's not going to be enough. So that points to the fact that there's something a little bit more complicated here. That, yes, apparently this is a nesina, that this tilting, this arek liacharze, is a little bit of a machlokas rishon. If you want to get to the details, Rashi and the Rush understand it one way. The Rush quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who understands it a little bit differently, but that's how we'll basically translate it right now. Right, so the way Rashi says, arek liacharze, ikem le masna blahakri blahagat. So he basically twisted his body in order to make the get closer to her. That's the understanding we're working off of. So this apparently counts as a nesina. But it's a lower level nesina. It's a nesina gerua. It is a lousy nesina, essentially, but it's a nesina. But the Ran says it makes a difference, the fact that it's not a great nesina, because then we need the accompanying declaration to be much clearer. Then he's got to actually say, Harei ze giteich, and not just some other context that will make it clear that's what's going on. Okay, clear what's going on? Everybody with me? So, to continue, the Rambam has an interesting position also, according to the Beis Shmuel. So if you take the Beis Shmuel's word for it, Beis Shmuel, that commentary on the side of the Eben Ezer, the Beis Shmuel makes the following point. So we said last week that according to the Rambam, Amira is Midrabanan. And if you don't have the Amira, then the get is only pasul, not batal, the language of being an issue Midrabanan, not Minhatorah. It says the Beis Shmuel, that's assuming it's a normal situation where he gave it to her in a normal way. But this kind of kinsilah shtar, shtar chov, if it's some kind of a weird situation like this, where he slipped it to her under some kind of pretense, or arek lecharze, and did this very, very shvach kind of nesina. So then, says the Beis Shmuel, the Rambam would agree that it's a dim in HaTorah, that the Amira is a dim in HaTorah. So as Schwartzman discusses there, that's also a strange position. Because how are we mixing two different systems? So on the one hand, we have the Nesina, which according to the Rambam in HaTorah is all you need. And you should say, it either works or it doesn't work. And the Nesina, which the Rambam is saying is Drabanan, but in some cases it's going to turn into a Dim in HaTorah. So if he says in HaTorah, you only need Nesina, so it should all be one or the other. How are we mixing and matching systems here? And saying that the Nesina could work by itself, unless it's a lower level Nesina. And then all of a sudden the Amira turns into a Dim in HaTorah. So this really all goes to Eric's point from before. That essentially, the point you made about Ksiva, right, that essentially the idea of Nesina really is that it's a Hechitimsa, that it's not actually the Gerishin. But the Get is the Gerishin. The Ksiva is not the Gerishin either, but the Get, getting to her, is the Gerishin. And it doesn't require a physical ksiva or a physical nesina from the Baal. But, as you pointed out, there's got to be some connection to the Baal. So we have to know somehow that it's coming from him. Now here, I think there's a little bit of ambiguity, and we could probably speculate about which part it is, but this is all in the service of the din that the Rambam writes. So the Rambam says, well, what's the whole chiddush of the Nasa? Now, what is the whole point?
That she can't take it herself?
She doesn't take it herself. Now, one can speculate, so what does that mean? Right? Does that mean that just she shouldn't take it herself because that's not how divorce works? She doesn't just remove herself from the marriage, so it can't be coming from her action, or at least not primarily from her action? Or is it perhaps to the point that it means that there's got to be some sense of the word in which the husband is divorcing the wife? That this is coming from him and not coming from her. But that doesn't require that he do the physical giving, and that Benasan is not telling us that. It's telling us that she doesn't take it. But it's not saying that his role has to be a physical act of giving. So therefore, in these cases, we need something for the husband to be playing some kind of active role. So either he's going to give it to her, and then for the Rambam, or it's going to be very clear that it's being given to her from him. So then from the Rambam, the Amira is not really necessary. But if the Nesina is so watered down, this is what you would call a Nesina Geruah, so then there becomes a greater need just to establish that there's some part that he's playing. And therefore, the Amira then is going to be essentially Edim Min HaTorah. Does that make sense? Everyone following it? More or less? All right, so I will recap. And then we'll just get a little bit of a roadmap of what we want to do tomorrow, where we're going to go from this. So what did we see today? So we saw that having heard that Nesina could be a kinyan, could be a physical act of giving, could be some combination of the two. So now we looked at the Rambam and we saw a new possibility. That the Rambam's language was a little mysterious, that he says that the husband has to write a get and give a get, but it doesn't mean that he actually has to do either of those things himself. He doesn't have to write it because the language of Akasav doesn't mean him, it means Ksiva as opposed to some other method. And the language of Nassan doesn't mean him, it means that she shouldn't take it herself. So the question we started with, Dov Schwartzman's question is, what happens to Shlichus? Why don't we just say this is going through that, and that's what happens. And as Eric asked at the time, and if it's not Shlichus, which would be a connection to the husband, so then what does give it a connection to the husband, and what stops it from just being some random person writing a get and divorcing somebody else's wife on their behalf, not with that instruction? So we noted that first, to look at Ksiva, so it seems that the understanding of Ksiva here, at least according to the Rambam, and we saw it was different than others, is that Ksiva is not the Gerushin. Ksiva is the preparation for the Gerushin that's happening through the get, and therefore it doesn't have to be from the husband, and that was the position of Tosfos and Daf Kof Beis, that we don't need Shlichus by Ksiva because it doesn't have to be from the husband, and the reason we need a Tzivoy from the husband is to create the Lishma. But it's not his action of Ksiva. Yeah.
Oh, so fine. So I was gonna say maybe that someone could see his friends like, I think you should get divorced. Don't worry, I made the get for you, and then just hand it to him. You can't do that because you need Tzivu Hebal.
Right. So you do need the Tzivu Hebal, according to most from the Torah.
How do you get it from the Torah though?
Because that's how it understands. So what word do you need? So that cost of law. So if you say that only that law is the source for Lishma, and that's what you need to create Lishma, it would come from there. And again, there was a Jew not that way. Tosfos doesn't use the Torah, but according to most, if it connected to Lishma, then Lishma is learned from law.
Do you need Tzivu Hebal also by Benasan then?
So, no, so that's what we're talking about now, how to bring that part in.
Okay.
So all that was for Ksiva, but part of what comes out from that, based on the language of the Rambam, is that the Ksiva is not the divorce. It's a preparation. So then, where he wanted to jump from that is, so then maybe it's true about the other half also, that Vinasan is also not the divorce, but is also a prerequisite for the divorce, which is the get ending up in her hands, but not necessarily from an act of Nesina on his part. And then that explained a few dinim. So for example, the din of the Eved and the Chatzar HaMalachas, if he gives it to the Eved and then gives the Eved to her, so once it gets to her, it works, even though you might think that that's a violation of the din of Tligi Teichma Gabi Akarka. No, that's enough of an act coming from him that's going to satisfy the Benasan standard. And then also these watered down situations in the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Ches in the Gemara, where he either says, okay, take this bill, but something else was totally not a get, don't worry, just take it for other purposes, and then clarifies later. So we know that already is something to pay attention to, because that kind of a system would not work for Kiddushin. If the husband says, here, I want to give you a ring just because I found it on the floor and you should keep it because, watch it for me, And then he said, ah, just kidding, I've married you. So that doesn't work. So how come for divorce it does work? So that already is an indication that the Nesina is of a lower standard than would be required by Kiddushin. Although we should emphasize that by Kiddushin we already know it's different because there is a Kinyan, so it's certainly even stronger. But here it's a different kind of din. And that the din of Arik Lecharze also indicates that there could be a very low level Nesina, that basically any kind of a literal gesture from his part, just a tilting from his part, might be enough to be considered a Nesina. And then we saw the Rishonim, the Ran, and the Vishnuol interpreting the Rambam, that said that that Nesina Gerua has an impact, in that the Ran says that it's not going to be enough if they're just talking about the context, the Sukkim Bo'osu Inyin, it has to actually be spelled out, Harizeh Giteich. And the Vishnuol says in the Rambam that even though the Rambam normally says the speech is Drabanan, but for one of these low-level Nesinas, the speech would be Daraisa. So the way essentially explained is that we don't require that it be an actual Nesina from him, but we do need some way to have him connected. So essentially what the Torah is saying, when it says V'nasim B'yada, is saying he has to do something. Right? He has to do something, and this we also left a little speculative, but probably that's what it means, that when the Rambam says she shouldn't take it herself, it's not about her that she shouldn't do the taking, because there are ways in which she's involved sometimes. But it's about him. He's got to do something to get it there. But what we're seeing is it doesn't have to be a actual Nesina, nor does it have to be certainly not a Kenyan. It has to be somehow that it's getting to her through him. So we need to make it clear that he's the one making it get to her. But once that happens, so then that's enough to satisfy this very low standard of what Nesina requires. Okay, make sense? So tomorrow, God willing, I would like to just pick up from the question of, so practically speaking, this has a lot of ramifications, so what methods actually do work, and we'll see there's some chumras that emerge from this in terms of how the get actually is given nowadays. Maybe we'll say another word or two about the Isur Hana issue, and then from there we will go on to the very major practical topic of Ratzon. So on that topic, who has Ratzon to lead us in the special Tu B'Shvat Mincha?